Welcome to Fluent and Chill NFL Edition. I'm Anthony K. I'm here as always with my main man, J-Dub. How you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
Listen, we have a lot to talk about. And listen, for me, it's going to get a little heated because there's a topic that we're going to talk about that I feel very strongly about. And it drives me nuts when we talk about a topic and people try to change the topic, try to change the narrative, try to change what we're talking about. And I'll give some examples. Obviously, I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, and we're gonna talk about that.
My boy Tone, by the way, folks, he don't get riled up. So when he get riled up, just so you know, it's serious.
It doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen often. He doesn't get riled up. I try to be even keel, but we're gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about Odell Beckham. I'm gonna take some credit for my hashtag free Odell, of course, and where he should land. We're going to talk about our picks for this week. Good slate of games, as always. I'm going to ask you about some interesting kind of, for lack of a better term, bubble teams. But before we get into all of that, remember to subscribe, set the reminder so you don't miss an episode of Fluent and Chill NFL or NBA edition on Wednesdays or Monday Night Live, 8 p.m. with me and Jermaine taking your questions. Now, that being said, last week, we both had pretty good weeks. Okay, we both, I think, eight plus wins. But there was three teams that won that neither one of us picked. So I want to talk about those three and were they, is it a sign of something coming? Or was it just a fluke game? So we both picked the Bengals. They did not win. They lost actually pretty bad to the Browns. Is this, in your eyes, a Bengals young team not knowing how to get it done against a divisional rival, or are the Browns better than we thought?
Well, one, the Browns are better than we thought. Actually, they're not better than we thought. They're better than what you thought, okay? Let's make sure we get that clear.
Let's be clear. I really like the Browns. I don't like their quarterback.
No, Tone. See, that doesn't work. Tone. You, our team can't be good and our quarterback can't be the worst quarterback in the league. That doesn't work. No. Right,
fair enough.
Okay. So, no. You were not feeling them, and that's fine that you weren't.
But
I think they won
because of the running game.
I had them, and that had a lot to do with it, absolutely. Okay. I had them picked to win the AFC North when we first started this. I had them picked to win the AFC North, and I'm looking at what Cleveland is doing, and with Baker back, and I don't know if it's the Odell missing in action, and not if they look like they had a groove. Their meat and potatoes is their running game, Tone. No question about it. If we got Baker throwing the ball 35, 40 times, that's a recipe for disaster. Okay. I don't like that at all. I don't mind Baker throwing the ball 20, 25, maybe even 30 times. But when he gets up to 35, 40, stuff like that, now you're venturing into uncharted water and you're looking for trouble with him. Now, as far as the Bengals, on the one hand, Tone, I wanted to say, well, you know, one beatdown deserves another. Because if I'm not mistaken, you know, 2 weeks before that, you know, they really put it to Baltimore. And I was really surprised about that. But then they turn around and they lay a stinker against the Jets.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking coming into that week, you know, they're going to be ready. They're more prepared. They weren't. The run game was trash. It wasn't trash. I take that back. Mixon just wasn't. They didn't involve him in the offense nearly as much. And I thought the catalyst to this was Joe Burrow. He killed him. And I know that he's young.
Hey, any quarterback, you know, and we'll talk about another veteran quarterback who had a stinker last week too. But every young quarterback, I think, is going to have a bad game. I think you can compound that with the fact that I feel like, you know, you touched on it a little bit. I feel like the Bengals know that they have their quarterback.
Yes.
But listen, every quarterback that's really successful has some type of run game, right? Aaron Rodgers is great. The Packers don't go away from the run completely. They always mix in the run. I'd like to see, I'm going to take a shot at the Browns again. I'd like to see what they do this week without Nick Chubb. We'll get to that in a minute. So we both picked the Bengals. We were both wrong. Browns win. And maybe it's a sign that if they stick to the running game, you know, use that defense that I've said is good, they have an opportunity. The other one we both picked wrong, and I'm surprised because I rarely pick the Cowboys, but we both picked the Cowboys thinking the Broncos are kind of going in a different direction,
mm-hmm.
you know, after trading away Von Miller, mm-hmm. and then the Broncos come out mm-hmm. and play a great game, and Dak doesn't look good.
Right. And I screwed that up, Tone, and the reason why I screwed that up is because I was looking at what Denver was doing, and I didn't recognize, and I didn't say anything about it. I don't know why, but I'm looking at the Cowboys, and, you know, Dak hadn't practiced or played in 2 weeks. That Denver team, they got a top five defense, and Dak has got to go against these guys having no preparation, no reps with the first team for 2 weeks, and we're going to throw him out there. He was missing throws that 2 weeks before that, before he got hurt. He makes those throws. No, those were routine throws for him. So he hadn't played in 2 weeks. He didn't look solid. He didn't look good at all. And I definitely screwed that one up. And I wasn't surprised by how Denver came out because, like I said, in terms of their defense, I know who they are. But it was more of me not recognizing that team goes as Dak goes. And
for him, yeah, it's interesting. 2 weeks, it's really interesting with the Cowboys because, one, hey, Dak comes back from injuries and just plays well. So I just right. assumed he'd be back in his group. He knows his team. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he needed the reps. Apparently he did.
Yes,
but it's interesting that you say they go as Dak goes because it seems like if Dak's not having a good game, they can't run the ball either.
I don't get that.
It's like Ezekiel Elliott is somehow connected to Dak's arm.
Yeah, right.
So they lose that one. And the other one, I think of those two, you know, I think people were probably split on those games. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was crazy to pick the wrong team.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you everybody got this one wrong. The Jags. Oh. Everybody was picking the Bills. And I think, it was just a bad game. Every team has just a bad game. Am I oversimplifying it? Are the Jags somehow, or are the Bills in trouble? Do you see something in the Bills that needs
I think you're undersimplifying it, Tony. They shut them out in the second half. Shut Buffalo out in the second half, no points. And nobody's talking about that because it's Jacksonville and how bad they are. That defense was stout. Now, did I see that coming? No. Buffalo is the class of the AFC East. They're a Super Bowl contender. There's no way I'm thinking that they're going to lose to a team in Jacksonville who's virtually last in everything. There's no way. But you and I have discussed this in the past. On any given Sunday, anybody can win. And that's what happened. And I was surprised at how Jacksonville's defense they shut the door on Buffalo. I'm talking about they had Josh Allen on the run constantly. And that's when he's at his worst, to be honest with you. When he's on the run, he's got to make decisions where he's throwing across his body. He's not very good. As opposed to when he gets to sit in the pocket and shift left and shift right, he's a lot better. Jacksonville had him off balance the entire afternoon.
When will quarterbacks learn? When you're falling to the ground, either hold the ball and take the sack
or
throw it out of bounds. Why do they always seem to, like another one where he's going down and he just throws it right into the defender's hand. Like I see that almost every week, if not every week, by multiple quarterbacks, smart quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
right? Carson Wentz does it. Stafford does it. Allen does it. I see everybody and I just think, I don't know. I don't get it at this point, how that's not just ingrained in your kind of DNA not to do that. I get it. Right. They have faith in their arm. They think they can make every throw. That's what makes them great quarterbacks, I guess. I do want to go back and just hit on one thing. And then we're going to jump into this week. I was on, as you know, every week I do Player's Choice Gridiron mm-hmm. Tuesday nights at 9 on Twitch. Mm-hmm. That being said, one of the things we talked about was the locker room in Cleveland. So mm-hmm. I'm going back to that first one with you said this multiple times. You said there's an issue. There's something wrong between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham, and not just on the field. There's something there. That obviously, I think, and you know, we've both been in locker rooms enough to know that spills off into other players, and the locker room can get divided.
Yes, it does.
What I think I saw last week was hey, we were divided. Odell kind of team Odell, team Baker. When Odell's gone, you have no choice but to kind of shift over to team Baker. And they did seem more harmonious, mm-hmm. right? They did seem more in sync. So
mm-hmm.
I guess sometimes there is addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm. All right. So I want to ask you now about some bubble teams here. Actually, no, let's stick. Since we're talking about Odell, let's stick with Odell. Mm-hmm. So Odell's gone. Cleveland seems happier without him. Two questions, because they could be different. For me, they're different. Where do you think he signs now that he's officially a free agent? And where, if a different team, makes the most sense? Where is he the best fit?
Well, he's not going to go anywhere where they're losing. All right. So just to get the ball or just to be more involved in offense, he's not going to do that. So I think Kansas City is out. Even though I like him in Kansas City and he could help them tremendously, I think Kansas City is out. I think Seattle is out too, because, you know, they're at the bottom of the NFC West, and I don't think that they have a shot with even with Russ coming back. I don't think that they have a shot. That division is way too tough.
Right.
So the only place that I'm thinking would be Green Bay. And I think in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, not only would he make a conscious effort to get him the football, he enhances their offense. Because in addition to Devontae, now we have Odell, who opens up a different dynamic with what they're doing. Now, I don't think he would be a disruption, because I think Aaron is the bigger personality. So I don't think that he would be a disruption, but I do think that he would help them out tremendously. He's one of the better route runners in the game. And I think that also, Tone, you look at what he's done in Cleveland. People think he was washed, and that was the same narrative with Randy Moss when he was with the Raiders.
Yeah,
that was the same. But when Randy got with an all time great quarterback, I mean, Randy threw 50 touchdowns. Randy Moss led the league in touchdowns that year. So I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he got with a group like Green Bay and he got back to where he was when he was with the Giants.
So you think he signs with Green Bay, and you also think
that's
the best fit?
I do. Okay. I do think that's the best fit for him.
So I believe, I'll start with the fit.
49ers too, Tom. I'm sorry.
I think the best fit for him is the team that you actually just mentioned that Randy Moss went to have a resurgence of his career. Mm-hmm. The Patriots do not have a number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a dynamic, kind of familiar young quarterback that they used to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think here's why it checks so many boxes for me. They need a number one receiver. He wants to be a number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anyone who's going to kind of steal some of those targets away from him. He can immediately go in and be the number one guy, which I think, let's be honest. Look, I played wide receiver. I was open every time I ran a route.
Every time.
Every time. I want the ball every time. Mm-hmm. And so I get that mentality. You know, we've had conversations with, you know, and heard guys like Marshall and Chad Ochocinco and Terrell Owens and all those guys. What do they always say? There was never a route I ran where I wasn't open. Mm-hmm. So it checks the box. They also have the Patriot way. If he's going to respect any coach, it's got to be Bill Belichick, I would think. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially with you can say, look what we did for Randy Moss. Everybody thought Randy Moss was washed, like you said, with the Raiders. And then he comes here and, oh my goodness, he's the greatest wide receiver ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we can do. Like, there's a sales pitch there. That's what we could do for you, Odell. Isn't that what you want? Yep. Do you want to go to Green Bay and always be in the shadow of Devon? Like, you didn't like being in Landry's shadow. Now, let's be honest, he was. You want to be in Devontae Adams' shadow? That's a much bigger shadow.
Way bigger.
You want to go to, you said, San Francisco. Okay, well, they got Debo Samuel, George Kittle. There's, you know, you're not going to get those targets. Go to, you know, Seattle was rumored. He'd be what, the third receiver behind DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett?
Right.
So there isn't really, in my eyes, a better fit for him than with the Patriots, because it checks all that boxes of number one receiver, gets the targets, established coach, good culture where he can thrive. And I think they need him too. The other thing is, let's not forget, people, I know that their schedule is their schedule, because people will attack me for that. But if you look at the records, Buffalo's 5-3. The Patriots are 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
They got a shot at this thing.
They're not out.
So
not out.
You bring in a guy like that can open up the playbook for them a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Now when you have kind of that, listen, I know he's not a superstar, like a workhorse back, but you got Damien Harris. You got the tight ends. Now you got a deep threat. offense all of a sudden looks a little bit more open.
Right.
And you know Belichick can write up a script. And that defense starting to play better.
Right.
Started to play better. So I like him there. The reality is, I think he does sign with the Packers.
Yeah.
And that's where I think he goes. But I got questions about the Packers. Now, we already know what's happening to Aaron Rodgers. He's just going to get a little fine.
Which you're not happy about.
I'm not happy about it because, I said this to you before. If I lied on my resume, I'd get fired.
On the spot, Tone. Like,
on
this
the
isn't
spot.
This isn't a discussion. This isn't why did you do this and blah, 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 blah. We got to let you go.
Yeah, it's done.
It's an integrity issue, sure.
And so, when people – so I put it out there onto social media and I said, hey, at minimum, there needs to be a suspension and a much larger fine. It's his responsibility. I get it. Listen, mm-hmm. I hear the narratives. Well, the NFL must have known. His team must have known. They have his medical records.
Right.
Shame on them. If they knew, and it's just because, well, it's Aaron Rodgers, and they didn't do anything about it, shame on them. And I think they should get the Packers should lose a draft pick. They should get more than just a fine. But with all due respect, he's his own man.
Mm-hmm.
He made a conscious decision to outsmart the media mm-hmm. and say, I'm immunized, but then go about his business as if he was vaccinated.
Right.
There was different protocols. Now, the narrative that's trying to get spun on me is that, well, it's his body, it's his choice. He's a hero. Do you know that someone compared him to Rosa Parks?
I did hear that. Yeah,
I literally lost my mind. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. It's not the same because I actually have more respect for Kyrie Irving right now because he came out and said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I don't believe in it. I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I would have had, I would have supported like I do Kyrie. Whether I agree with you or not is not the point. And I keep mm-hmm. telling people that you've never heard my opinion and I'm never going to give it because right. it's my opinion.
Right.
I will applaud you standing up for what you believe in, even if I disagree. I applaud Kyrie Irving. He has a stance. He's sticking to it. What Aaron Rodgers did was not that. He was a coward. I'm putting it out there right now. Aaron Rodgers is a coward because he didn't come out and say, this is what I'm doing and this is why. No, he said, I'm smarter than you. I'm immunized and made everybody. Now, shame on the reporters for not asking a follow-up. There's a lot of blame to go around for not asking the right questions. But he's a coward. He didn't stand up for anything.
Yeah. I'm immunized. Let's be clear about this, Tone. I'm immunized. But that was in kindergarten when we had.
Yeah, we all got. Yeah, for the most part, we all
got immunized. We had in order to go to school, we had to get our shots. And that was in kindergarten, 40 something years ago. So that's completely not, that's not the same thing at all. But with that being said, I don't know what the harm in would have been if he would have just came out and said right from the beginning, no, I'm not vexed.
Listen, have you ever heard, did I say anything negative about Cole Beasley?
No, you did not.
Why? Because he came up and said, this mm-hmm. is what I believe. Mm-hmm. I might think he's crazy. I might think he's right. It doesn't matter. I mm-hmm. applaud the fact that he has, he believes in what he believes and he's sticking right. to it and he's open about it.
Right.
So again, I'm just going to reiterate. So that's what bothers me about Aaron Rodgers, that he didn't come out. He wasn't upfront about it. He acted as if, so let's be honest, he wasn't wearing his mask. He wasn't doing, the NFL has very strict policies. If you're vaccinated, you could do this. If you're not vaccinated, you have to do that. That's it. And he went down that path. So it wasn't just that he, the play on words, he also acted as if, right? And again, if the Packers knew and if the NFL knew, shame on them. Don't have a policy then. Don't have a policy. Just say, hey, we believe that, everybody's fine.
Tone, whoa. Tone, what do you mean if they knew? Of course they knew.
Okay, sorry. Absolutely. The fact that they knew, shame
yeah,
on
they
them.
Knew. Absolutely.
Then
they
shame
knew.
On then shame on them. Because hell again, yeah, I'd rather them say, hey, we believe this is over and the worst is, and we've got, these athletes who are in great shape and it's not gonna affect us. So we're not gonna have different rules,
right.
whether you're vaxxed or unvaxxed. Okay, I also will support that if that's your decision.
Right.
This middle gray ground where, because let's be honest, I think I saw, I'm not going to get the numbers exactly right. CeeDee Lamb was fined $20,000 for having his shirt untucked.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Rodgers was fined, $14,000 for not following COVID protocol?
Mm-hmm. $14,000.
That doesn't seem right to me. It might have CeeDee Lamb's actually might have been even more than 20, might have been 50. Either way, CeeDee Lamb got fined more for an untucked shirt. Come on. Just make it make sense. Yeah. That's all I ask is to make it make sense.
Yeah.
So that's the end of it. So I guess he's going to be back. He's going to be playing. Mm-hmm. He might have a new receiver in Odell Beckham to throw to. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to the NFC Championship game. They're going to lose. All right, there you go. The script is written for Green Bay because that's just what happens. I'm going to get some grief from Green Bay on that one. Mm-hmm. All right. So I briefly touched on the Patriots. So I want to just throw a couple of scenarios at you. Mm-hmm. In the AFC East, the Jets, the Dolphins are, for all intents and purposes, they're done.
Yes.
Buffalo 5-3, the Patriots 5-4. Does Buffalo get it back on track and still win that division? Or are you with me saying, I think it's Patriots?
I think it could be the Patriots because I'm looking at how they've been playing lately and I'm looking at their strength of schedule. I'm not going to say strength of schedule. This is not college football. Absolutely not. But I'm looking at their schedule and who they've got coming up and how they've been playing lately. The Patriots have been looking really good. Now, the AFC East is what it is. We already know that the Dolphins are – we know that the Dolphins and the Jets, we know that they're finished. So that's a two-man race between Buffalo and the Patriots. Now, I like what Mac Jones is doing. I like what their running game, because they got a running game by committee up there in New England. I like what they're doing. I'm not sold that even though Buffalo came out as the class of that division, I'm not sold that they're the winner.
Last year they were, I don't want to say the surprise team, but they weren't the clear-cut kind of leaders going into the clubhouse. It's different when you got that target on your back.
Yeah, it is.
And they're finding that out. A team like Jacksonville might have laid down for them a year or two ago.
Of course.
But this year, they're like, hey, these guys are the best team in the AFC. Let's show them that we're on the come up. We're young, but we're coming.
Yeah.
You know, they get their best.
Absolutely.
The AFC North is crazy. We're gonna save that for next week. Okay. See what happens, because we're about middle of the season. I only want to talk to you about two. The AFC West is another one where the Chargers are 5-3.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders are 5-3. The Chiefs, who've looked horrible, but are 5-4, they're still in it. And the Broncos are 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that tells you those other teams can hold off what I think to be a second half resurgent of the Chiefs?
Well, this is where you and me are at odds, because I don't have the Chiefs making the playoffs. And I've said that to you.
I flip back and forth. I be honest, I got
them out, because I'm looking at that division. That division, you could win 11 games and be out. That could very well happen. You can win 11 games and not make the playoffs. I'm looking at the Raiders are in a bit of a turmoil right now. And it's just not coming together. And I feel bad about what they're doing.
There's a lot going on there.
It's a lot going on there. However, they're also not playing great football neither. You know, their running back situation is up and down. Waller, who's arguably the best tight end in the game, he's in and out the lineup. And when he is in the lineup, he can be ineffective. David Carr, some weeks he looks like he's the league MVP. And then there's times where he looks like, he's an average quarterback. Same thing with my Chargers, who, as you know, Tone, I got them representing the AFC. I think they can represent the AFC in the bowl game. And then, as you also know, Denver, who I've quietly been having an affair with over the last 20 years. But with that being said, that division, you cannot have a lapse. And I think that Kansas City is way too inconsistent. Just in that division alone, they're way too inconsistent to really make a push. Not just to win a division, but to actually make the playoffs. I think they're out, Tone.
Okay. I'm gonna stick to it, because I was convinced of this, and I'm gonna stick with the Chiefs have a second half resurgence and they win that division. Mm-hmm. The other one really is the one we talked about, is your division, right? Another, let's be honest, I hate to say this, but Seattle and the Niners are
probably out.
Okay.
Let's call it right what it is, Tom. I think we're out. We got to play the Rams twice in the next 3 weeks. We got to play Arizona again, and we got to play Seattle. I think we're out.
That's tough.
Yeah.
So it's really Arizona and the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Can Arizona hold them off? Or did the Rams do enough with really the addition of Von Miller? Because I teased this earlier. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford had a horrible game. He looked like Detroit Lion Matthew Stafford.
That's exactly
is, who he is. That are we going to start seeing more of that, or was that a blip?
I think that was a blip on the screen, but I do think even with Von Miller on that crew, I still think Arizona better than them. I just do. They get to the quarterback just like the Rams do. They They have a dynamic offense just like Arizona does. The difference is I think Kyler Murray is better than Matthew Stafford. I think that's the difference.
I don't think many people would disagree with that.
I think Kyler Murray is better than Matthew Stafford, and I think that that's the difference, especially the last time when they saw them, how they handled them. I think that they're the best. Arizona is the best team in the NFC West.
Yeah.
And I think that they win the division.
I'm with you. I'm sticking with Arizona. I like what they've done there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, some people made a big deal of it. Some people didn't. You go out there and win a game without your starting quarterback and without your number one wide receiver. That shows me a little bit about the team. Those things like that pay dividends later on, because you're going to ask those guys to step up again at some point, right? It's a long season, and now we know they can do it.
Just so you know, Tone, that was the ninth loss in a row that my 49ers have had in Levi Field. The last game that we won in Levi Field was the NFC Championship game against Green Bay 2 years ago. We haven't won at home since then. Yes, Tone.
Do you not like Levi Stadium?
I don't know what the story is. I can't.
When I lived in San Francisco, I'm surprised. And actually, when I lived there, it might still have been what they play in Candlestick before.
Candlestick Park, yes, sir.
It might still have been. How old is Levi? Let's see. Let's see if
it just opened up 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So it was still Candlestick when I was there. Okay.
It just opened up 2 years ago.
All right. So it's not my fault. I was just making sure it wasn't. No, typically when I go somewhere, when I move to a city, they do well. Like the first year I moved, I think I moved to Arizona. My Bears actually made it to the Super Bowl, but then the Cardinals made it against Pittsburgh. That catch in the back of the end zone by the Steelers. All right, so let's get into this week's games. Thursday night, Ravens-Dolphins.
Yes, sir.
There's been a lot of upsets, but I'm going Ravens. Definitely. Is there any reason to believe the Dolphins will?
The last time Lamar Jackson was down here, I think he threw for almost 500 yards the last time he was down here. And when they played, he won the league MVP that season too, if I'm not mistaken. So there's no reason for me to believe with what Baltimore has been doing lately. There's no reason for me to believe that Miami. I know it's any given Sunday, but it's not Sunday.
Yeah, it's a Thursday night. That's right.
It's not this Sunday. I think that they handle Miami, no doubt about it.
All right. So 1 o'clock games. We're going to start with Falcons, Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys get back on track this week. Matty Ice and the Atlanta Falcons, Tone, for all intents and purposes, I keep saying this to you, they're that ex-girlfriend that just won't go away. It just won't. They just keep hanging around and like, damn, I thought we were over. No, they just keep hanging. They're right in the middle of that division in the NFC South. They're a game over 500.
They're four and four.
And they're right in the middle of it. So they just won't go away. They won. And I had Kyle Pitts as my offensive rookie of the year, but that defense has been really good. But I think the Cowboys get back on track this week. I do. I think they get back on track.
I am with you, but I do think it's going to be a high scoring affair. Mm-hmm.
It could be something 37, 34.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Saints, another team in that NFC South. Saints take on the Titans, who we thought, Derrick Henry's gone, they're done. Man, their defense showed up.
Their defense showed up. I was really surprised about that. And to call Adrian Peterson basically from Planet Fitness to get a workout. He was working out in Planet Fitness. Yo, you want to come run the football for us? And he actually didn't look bad, Tone. He didn't look
considering
bad
the circumstances. Yes, right. He did not look bad.
He didn't look bad. So I think he gives them a dynamic.
Then let's be honest. AD is, all day is an alien, right? Like, he's not from this planet.
He is not.
He's not from this planet. He came back from a career-ending injury and looked every bit himself. And then
he ran for 2,000 yards and won the league MVP.
Right? Like,
an ACL injury. Who does that? Nobody does that. Nobody does that.
He's not human.
Right. Nobody does that. I think that – I'm looking at what Tennessee is doing with their defense. I'm looking at what Tennessee is doing in terms of their offense. I like when Ryan Tannehill is underneath and he's got short routes. That's where he's the most effective. When you start getting him throwing the long ball, that's when it gets tricky with him. When he's going 25, 30 yards down the field, that's when it gets tricky with him. But I do think that they handle their business this weekend.
So you got the Titans.
Mm-hmm. I think they handle their business this weekend.
I think they were on a emotional kind of charge last week because everyone said, listen, they have no shot because they've now lost Derrick Henry. I think this week they come back down from that high a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think the Saints sneak one out.
Wow.
And I think a lot of it's going to be the Saints defense that actually shuts down the Tennessee offense. And that's the difference, right? Everyone's thinking, no, it's going to be, you know, Winston throwing from, no, and not Winston throwing their offense. I don't think it's going to be the offense. Kamara,
Taysom Hill,
running the ball, Taysom Hill. Yeah. I don't think it's that. I think it's on the defensive side.
You are aware, Tone, that New Orleans, their defense is trash. Don't let that fool you what they did. Dude, that defense is trash.
They're going to surprise you this week.
It's a smoke screen.
I'm not saying they're great. What I'm saying is the defense is going to make, is going to do something that's going to make you go, what? It's going to be one of those. Everyone's going to say, oh, I didn't expect that. And I'll say, well, I did.
Okay.
Or I'm going to say, hey, I was wrong. Either way, we know. Can Jacksonville make it back-to-back weeks against a really inconsistent Colts team?
No, I don't think so. I do not think so. Absolutely not. I think that that last week's game with Buffalo, I think that was a trap game. I think that they were looking past them because considering who Buffalo has this week, I think that was a trap game for them. And I think that Jacksonville, they come back down to earth. That defense wasn't bad. I think that defense was awesome last week. But as much as I don't trust Carson Wentz from time to time, I do think that they deal with Jacksonville this weekend. Absolutely.
If Jacksonville didn't beat the Bills last week, I would say this is one of those games the Colts go out and lose because the Jags will step it up. But because they won that game last week, if this makes sense, I think the Jags aren't as emotionally charged. And I think, yeah, I'm with you. I think I got the Colts in this one too. This one. Wow. This one's might have some AFC ramifications down the road. You got the 5-4 Browns against the 5-4 Patriots.
Well, I just like what I dig Belichick, his ability to scheme, and I dig his ability to game plan against the best. But when I look at what this Cleveland team is doing and what they did last week, I think that they get back on track, Tone, and they become the team who I thought that they were going to be. And I think that they continue to roll. I think that they beat Cleveland in a dogfight. I don't think that they beat them.
Who wins?
I think that Cleveland beats these guys in a dogfight. Yeah.
So beating the Pats in a dogfight. I think other than the Jets, I think there's no other team Bill Belichick wants to beat more than the Browns.
Absolutely.
And so I think they dial something up real special this week. And and like I said, I think the Pats are kind of starting to hit their stride at the right time. So I'm going to go with the Pats over the Browns.
Nick Chubb is going to play this week too. I know that.
Are you sure? I thought he said.
Well,
I'm basing it on the fact that I think he's not going to play.
Well, he's vaxxed, so all he's got to pass a COVID test. If he wasn't vaxxed, then he had to automatically. But he's vaxxed, so he's got to pass. I think within 24 hours, he's got to pass 2 COVID tests, and if he does, then he's legit. So
okay, well, in that case, they'll keep it closer than I thought. But I got the pass. I'll still stick with the Pats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are those games that it seems like, oh yeah, that's obvious. You're going to pick this team.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime it's a divisional game, you got to be careful. So you got the Bills and the Jets.
I'm not getting sucked in again, Tom. No, with the Jets. I saw what they did against Cincinnati. I'm not getting sucked in again. No, I think the Bills handled them. After what happened last week against Jacksonville, I do, and I got sucked in. I got trapped a week ago when Cincinnati with the Jets. I don't think the Bills fall into that trap this week. I don't. I think that they come out, and I think that they handle the Jets. Even though Mike White has looked really good. In fact, not only has he looked good.
Is he going to play this week? Because he got injured last week.
Yeah, he did. But I'm thinking about Mike White, Tone, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, New York, it might have been a good idea to sit Zach Wilson and let him sit behind this kid and let him learn. Because I think that they got a better opportunity to win.
Who's this Johnson guy that came in when White got hurt? He looked really good too.
Right. Their third string quarterback.
Like, how do they both look that good?
Right.
Like, I bet you if the Jets just played all their backups, they might be a better team.
They might have a better shot.
Listen, if your depth chart is that wrong, that, you know, your second and third string are better than your start, like, who knows? go deep into that practice squad and see what you can put
together. What else you got?
I'm also on the Bills. I don't think they lose back-to-back games. If they lose back-to-back games to the Jags and Jets, then the Patriots deserve to win that division. Yes. Because that would be a terrible.
And we got to take them off the contender list too. We have to.
Oh God! Oh yes, 100%.
We have to take them off the contender list.
Yeah. They slide right down to wild card. Hey, maybe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I was gonna try to make an undefeated joke, but I saw a post, I think on Monday or Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets 24, or not, sorry, excuse me, the Lions 24, the bye week 27. Yes, they even lost on the bye. So we've got the Lions and the Steelers. I think the Lions.
Don't do it, Tone. Don't do it.
I think the Lions will keep it closer than you think, because I think the Patriots, or sorry, the Pittsburgh Steelers are like an 8-9 point favorite.
Uh-huh.
If I was a betting man, I would say I'm taking the Lions as a straight up. Look, Steelers are winning that game because when you play the Steelers, as the Chicago Bears found out, you also play the referees. So I've got the Steelers.
Go. I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
We didn't talk about it. We'll talk after we make our picks. We're going to talk about that. So we'll save it. But I got Pittsburgh and the refs, the Pittsburgh referees beating the Lions. Is there any reason you think the Lions?
No, I don't.
Snap their winless streak.
They're starting running back. He's basically getting backup reps. He's averaging 11, 12 yards per key. He's averaging 11, 12 yards a carry. I'm 11 to 12 carries a game. And I'm thinking to myself, why? This is, you signed him. This should be your workhorse back. Open up the playbook. They haven't done any of those things. Jared Goff is, he's been so hot and cold. He's been more cold than he's been hot. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at this Detroit team, and I don't think that they beat Pittsburgh this weekend. No.
Do you remember right before week one when I said they got the wrong head coach because he's too focused with, you know, putting the man on his name tag and his office, and I want to bring a real lion to the game. Should have been focusing on the playbook. So, yes. So, we both got Pittsburgh over the Lions. It's going to be a long, ugly. They might be the first team in NFL history to go 0-17.
0-17. How about to go 0-for twice? Have we had a team?
And 0-for, no, no.
To go 0-for. Well, let's see. I think
you got the Browns and the Lions.
Right.
That's it.
And Tampa Bay, they lost 26 straight, but they didn't go 0-for 2 in 2 years.
Yeah, I think they were 1 in whatever.
Yeah. They might be the only team to go 0-for twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
I feel bad. I know a lot of people. I have a lot of friends who are Lions fans from mm-hmm. Detroit, from Michigan. I feel bad. It's just it's another one of those franchises. It's like if you go back 5 years, mm-hmm. maybe even 3 years, and I was saying, hey, just let me run that franchise. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the Knicks three or 4 years ago. Now it's the Lions. It's like I feel like just any guy off the street could go in and do a better job, mm-hmm. like put a team together that gets a win. All right, Bucks, the Bucks. Whew. The Bucks and the Washington football. I'm really disappointed with Washington.
I know
Fitzpatrick got hurt. I really expected that defense to be better. I really expected the defense to be better.
You said it before the season started, Tone. How many back-to-back NFC East?
No, I knew they weren't going to win the East.
Right.
But I thought that I'm disappointed in their defense. I thought it would be better.
We got sold a whopper with that defense. Yes,
I thought it would be better.
And with Sweat and those guys, we got sold a whopper. And I thought that they were going to be better, and they're not.
They're not.
They're not.
I think the Bucks show us that they're really not that
good. Yeah, they're not.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. There's not much discussion needed on that. Look, the Bucks, until proven otherwise, right? The Bucks are still the favorites in the NFC. They're the defending champs. I know the Cardinals have a better record and the Rams have a better record, but
what have I told you, Tone, about? Same thing I told you about Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
I told you that the road to the NBA championship goes through Milwaukee. I see what Brooklyn is doing. I see what the Golden State is doing. The road to the bowl game, you got to come down to South Florida. You have to. If you're trying to get to the bowl game, you got to come see Brady.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So we're off to the 4 o'clock games. We've got the Panthers 4-5. So they started off 3-0. They lose a few against the Cardinals.
When Sam Darnold came out of college, I said I thought that he was a turnover machine. And I thought that going to the Jets, I thought that they could minimize that, only except they didn't. So now the one thing that we cannot dispute, he is absolutely a turnover machine. And he's going to go to Arizona, and he's going to do the same thing that he's been doing. Tone, I think last week he threw for 3 interceptions. The week before that, 2 interceptions. And I can appreciate Christian McCaffrey not being in the offense and how much that hurt them. But you have to be better at taking care of the football, and he hasn't been. He's been the demise of a lot of what they've been doing. He has not been taking care of the football, and I think that's what's killing him. And I think that's what's going to kill him on Sunday.
Letting Mike Davis sign with the Falcons and not having like an insurance policy for Christian McCaffrey, I think it hurts him because Mike Davis isn't doing what he did last year either in Atlanta. But I think that was a good, you need to have that backup, right? Like you need to have your Tony Pollard, right? When Zeke isn't having, and now they put too much weight on, we think Sam Darnold's going to be that guy. And we all thought, hey, he was going to be better than he was in New York. And he has, he's been better than he was in New York. Mm-hmm. But they also say, hey, we're going to have a healthy Christian McCaffrey for 17 games. And that's a tough gamble to make when, you know, what has shown you that was going to happen. Like, Carolina's a tough one, but yes, I think the Cards pretty easily win that game actually. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Vikings, will the Chargers get it back on track?
I think the Chargers get it back on track, even though I've always felt like with that offense in Minnesota that Dalvin Cook, if he could stay healthy, he's the catalyst to what they're doing because Kirk Cousins can get Jefferson more involved and they get that running game going. That opens up their offense. But the problem is Dalvin Cook was always hurt. But now he looks like he's getting back into his groove. He 17 for 113 last week. So if he could stay upright, I think that they have a shot. But ultimately, I think that the Chargers handle them. I think that Justin Herbert and the crew, I think they get back on track this week.
It's not a primetime game. Mm-hmm. So because it's not a primetime game, Kirk Cousins will give them a shot.
You got to give Kirk Cousins a shot.
But not good enough. Not going to give Kirk Cousins a shot because it's not primetime. Uh-huh. See what I did there? Yeah. All right. But yes, I'm also going with the Chargers. Eagles and Broncos, I think it's going to be closer than people think. But in the end, I think Denver's defense is just way too much, and Denver kind of takes this one.
Philly has gotten better every week, though. Tom.
I know.
I'm looking at what they're doing in terms of their offense. I love Devontae Smith. I love everything about him. Jalen Hurts looks like he's getting better every week. That defense it looks like it's improving. So it's one of those – Philly is one of those teams where – like you get to game 17 and they're like one or two games out and you're thinking, you know, if we had another game or two, we might have a legit shot.
Or you look back at a couple ones that they let slip away.
Right. So, but ultimately, I'm going to pick Philly this week.
Philly? All right.
I'm picking Philly this week. Yes, I am.
All right. I like that one. All right. The Seahawks, who do get Russell Wilson back against the Packers, who I believe Aaron Rodgers will be playing and Devontae Adams will be back.
Much to the chagrin of my man Tone right here. He's not appreciative of that.
I don't like it. I really enjoyed watching Jordan Love. If we could have Jordan Love from the beginning of the season, the Bears might have had a shot at this division.
Pride of Utah State.
So Seahawks and Packers, is Russell Wilson enough? Is Russell Wilson enough to get by the backers?
I mean, he hasn't played in over a month, and you know he's just started taking first team reps this week, so I think he's got a lot of rust for all intents purposes, and I think that Green Bay handles them. They get that they get their offense back on track, and I think they handle him, especially getting Devontae and Aaron Jones and these guys back acclimated to what they're doing. Absolutely. They get rolling again.
It's funny with Jordan Love. I don't feel they ran the ball enough. And
that was interesting.
And I look at it and I think, well, hold on. When Aaron Rodgers is in there, you start with the run and it sets up all that great play action and Aaron Rodgers taking those deep shots. Why wouldn't you do that for the young guy? I found it interesting. So that being said, we're going to move to the last 4 o'clock game. I love every divisional matchup. I feel like there's an extra added intensity in those games, especially when the teams are 5-4, 5-3, fighting for the division. Mm-hmm. You got the Las Vegas Raiders against the Kansas City Chiefs. Raiders, like we said, look like they've got a bunch of distractions, which they do. Can they pull out a win against the Chiefs? Even the two Chiefs have won in a row, haven't been in dominant fashion. They've squeaked out some wins the last couple of weeks. But do you think can they get the win in against the Raiders, or do the Raiders?
Let me ask you this question, Tone. How many wins is it going to take to get into the playoffs?
Into the playoffs?
In the AFC, if you're in the AFC, how many wins is it going to take?
Playoffs? Are we talking playoffs?
Y'all talking playoffs. How many wins is it going to take?
10.
So 10 wins gets us in. That means
ten in a tiebreak.
That means
it's gonna be like last year.
That means Kansas City got a win of the net. We're in week 8, so they got 8 more games. So they got to win 5 of their next 8 games. I don't think this is the fifth. I don't think this is 5 of their next 8 games that they're gonna win. I think that the Raiders handle them. I know that they've been squeaking wins out, but Travis Kelce is the only guy on that offense, and he hasn't been playing great. Who's been playing decent? Patrick Mahomes still leads the league in interceptions. That offense sputters. And that defense, which I saw that they only gave up 7 points to Green Bay, that's because that they had a quarterback who hasn't played in 2 years. I think that's going to be different. So
since you brought that up, I like bringing up interesting stats. Mm-hmm. Since Aaron Rodgers took over as the full-time starter for Green Bay, mm-hmm. in the games that Aaron Rodgers hasn't started, like last week, mm-hmm. the Packers have averaged 13.6 points per game.
Oh my God.
That is less points per game than the 0-16 Lions and the 0-16 Browns.
Which means that if Aaron Rodgers is not playing, you're not winning.
Period. You just chalk up that yeah. loss. So yeah, I'm not giving them credit for holding Jordan Love and the Packers to 7. However, I do think, like I said, I think this is their, they got those, I don't know if it's like that monkey off their back. They got a couple of wins. They're in it. Mm-hmm. I just think there's too much talent. I know there's a lot of holes on defense, and I'm not saying Ingram is the cure-all for their defense, but I just think this is their, if they're going to be that great team that people think they are, that dynasty type of team that goes mm-hmm. to the Super Bowl multiple years, you know, like 3-4 times in 5-6 years, mm-hmm. when you see blood in the water, you have to attack. And there's blood in the water in the AFC West right now. So I think they attack. I think they beat the Raiders. Mm-hmm. And it brings us to the Monday Nighter. At the beginning of the season, this would have been, and not that it's not going to be a great game. I think it is. But this would have been, oh my, this might decide the NFC West.
Right.
But now you got the 7-2 Rams, the 3-5, your Niners. I'll let mm-hmm. you take it away because they are your Niners. Do Niners surprise the Rams, or do the Rams come back from an awful showing?
But I do know for a fact that my Niners have beaten the Rams. I think we've beaten them 3 of the last 4 times we played them. So our Debo Samuel, Sanu, our offense has been good. Jimmy G's decision-making has been a catalyst to what our losses have become. And you know, them getting Von Miller back looks like they're going to be serious. But I think my 49ers, I think we handle them dudes this weekend. I do. I think we handle them. I think we surprise everybody. And I think we beat the Rams.
I know I've said this once already in this episode, but I'm going to say it again. If the Rams didn't lose last week, I would have been 100% on they lose this game. Mm-hmm. I feel like when you have a game that bad, it works the other way too. When I see guys who have big, huge games, I always tell you the next week they're done. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like 80% of the time I'm right, because the next mm-hmm. game they can't just do what they can't replicate it again.
Right.
So I think the Rams played so poorly last week that this is the one they turn around. I think it's close because it's a divisional game. It will probably come down to a field goal or something of that nature.
One possession game.
One possession game. But I am gonna go with the Rams. And we'll see. You know, we're keeping track of these now. We did, like I said, we both did really well last week. So we'll see how we do this week. I want to end the show. We talked about it briefly there a second ago. The Steelers, listen, I had Steelers fans telling me, sorry. literally giving me apologies and saying, you know, that game was stolen. We didn't deserve to win. Look, we'll take the win. We didn't deserve to win that game. That was the worst officiating job I've ever seen in the history of the NFL. Now, was it the worst ever? No, probably not. But there were some really blatant, like, you do a roundhouse kick, which he does, by the way, which he does, Cassius does every time after his sack. He does that roundhouse kick, never gets a penalty. And then you get a penalty for taunting for staring at the sideline from 25 yards away. That's not a, right? Do we agree? Okay. This taunting thing has gotten way out of hand.
Bump the official who, by the way,
No. He didn't bump the official. The official bumped him.
That's what I'm saying. This official created the contact. It wasn't he was the one who ran into the official. He was trying to get out the way of the official. So, yeah.
So what's up with that? Like that, those things that make conspiracy theorists and, yes, you know, I had an author who wrote the book Fixed.
Yeah.
Write those stories because, well, look, they can point to stuff like that that just is egregious.
Yeah. Man, and this whole taunting thing, Tone. This whole taunting thing. Too far. That's part of the game.
Listen, if you could, if the entire defense can run into the end zone and row a boat,
right?
That's not taunting, but staring them down is taunting. Now, listen, I get it. There's a line. Okay, don't make contact. I get it. Certain words, maybe if the official, you know, if there's a certain, you know, there's certain words that you don't want them saying. Mm-hmm. I get that. Certain gestures, right? No cutting of the throats, no, you know, pointing a gun. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I mean, anything else than that, like you jumping up and cheering, you staring them down. No, those things need to be allowed. It's they've taken it too far. And you have to be clear. Yeah. It doesn't say you can't stare down the opposing team.
Right.
Okay. Remember they said, hey, what's a penalty? Don't take off your helmet. You cannot take off your helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's clear. So make it clear. No cutting of the throat, no gun gestures, you know, no, I don't know what F word, N word, I don't know what word, whatever list of words right. Cool. At least it's clear. This whole subjective, well, if I don't like it, I'm going to give you a penalty. Then the game's in the ref's hands, which it should never be.
Well, what does NFL stand for, Tom?
No fun league.
Yeah, there you go.
When I thought they were allowing the team celebrations and stuff, I thought they were kind of, you know, lightening up a little bit.
Yeah.
But those two actually aren't the worst two. Well, that's the ones we always talk about, is the roughing the passer. But there was three other calls. Well, two non-calls and one call. Did you see the phantom low block on the touchdown that they took away from the Bears?
No, I did not.
Okay. So I believe is the right guard pulls, and as long as you're within the box, you're actually allowed to go down.
Right.
And he goes down, and so that's actually allowed. If it's outside of the box, then it is a low block penalty. But one, it was within the box. Two, actually, JJ Watt TJ Watt avoids it, so he actually doesn't even make contact. So one, it was within legal in the parameters that they're allowed to do that. Two, he actually didn't make contact, and yet. That's a non-reviewable. Like, if you're going to have reviews on touchdown plays, get it right. Like, isn't that the whole point, is to get it right?
Right?
So they take away a touchdown in a one-possession game. The other one, and this one actually bothers me more, although it didn't cost the game, but, like, I thought we were protecting quarterbacks.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not. Because I get it, he's a rookie, but how many times is Justin Fields going to get smacked upside the head and not get a call?
No illegal hands to the face, no roughing the passer, none of that.
He took a shoulder to the back of the head. Like, make it make sense. I don't make it consistent.
Yeah, that's fair. That's absolutely
right.
Fair.
Like, if that was Tom Brady, is it a penalty?
Absolutely, it is. No question about that.
Then it has to be one for Justin Fields. Yes, I've said this about basketball too all the time when they say, oh, superstars get the call. I hate that. I hate that. I think a call is a call, whether it's the first quarter, fourth quarter, and I don't care who it is. Mm-hmm. But that's just me. So that's my rant on the Bears, who I'm going to give them an extra win this season because of that game. All right. So that's it for this week. Check us out Monday, 8 p.m. We're going to go live on TikTok answering your questions.
Yes, sir.
Wednesdays, as you know, is NBA edition and Friday's NFL edition.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Anthony K of Sports Fluent, Jermaine, Chilltown Hoops. Until next week.
Take it light, but take it.
Get the full Sports Fluent Anthony K and Friends experience. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at sports_fluent. What does it mean to be truly fluent? Support us today for exclusive content, direct one-on-one chats, answers to your questions, and best of all, every quarter, a lucky supporter will be chosen to appear on Sports Fluent and receive some great swag from Boardwalk Los Angeles. How can you support us? Go to anchor.fm/sports-fluent/support.